It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Country music isn't one size fits all, and my guest this week proves it. Inspired by the likes of Thomas Rhett and Jelly Roll, and deeply shaped by the sound of his grandmother's piano playing, Dalton Hicks brings a fresh yet grounded perspective to the genre. He was born and raised in South Carolina. He's country to the core. He crafts every song as a solo writer, and he road tests his music both in the studio and on the stage. And with his new single, Day by Day, Dalton joins me to talk about the roots of his sound, the heart behind the lyrics, and what's next on his journey through country music. Dalton will be performing at Stoney's Rockin' Country this Friday, August 15th, with doors opening at 7 p.m. And for ticket information, go to stoniesrockincountry.com, and you can follow Dalton on Instagram and TikTok. And Dalton, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Doing well. So the most interesting thing about you, I think, is the fact that you do like to work on your songs by yourself.
Yeah, I do. Every song I've wrote has been just with me so far.
What's the meaning behind that? In other words, you could easily collaborate with someone, but clearly it's more personal to you. So I assume that's the reason.
I mean, from the songs I've released, you can kind of tell that it's more mainly personal, but at the same time, I'm open to writing with other artists as well.
Okay. So, but for now you're doing it solo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, now there's a couple of songs by that name, that title Day by Day. Yours is totally different. How'd you come up with the lyrics for it, and why did you write that particular song? Cause that's the current one right now.
Yeah. Day by Day came after I'm Still Here, the one that kind of blew up for me. And, I'm Still Here is just about really just telling the world is you're still here. You're still kicking and you're keeping on pushing on. And, Day by Day kind of came as a second wave from that song, just telling people that we're just going to keep on pushing day by day, you know, and it all just came together and it was awesome.
Well, you don't look like you're struggling too much. For those listening who cannot tell, but for those of us who are seeing you, you're on a golf cart and I am on a course.
I'm drinking a lot of beer.
Yeah, and a lot of beer as well. Very good. And so you're clearly having a good time. So.
Yeah, fair.
How do you mesh that with the general country aura of struggle and heartache and pain, et cetera?
You know, I mean, country music's been my life for a long time. You know, I grew up listening to it. And then, I mean, when I turned 17, I picked up a guitar for the first time in my life. And it kind of just changed my mind being able to write your own song, you know. And I really enjoy... You know, I'm going to be the same person I always am. You know, I'm from Aiken, South Carolina. I like to do redneck stuff. I am a redneck, but that's what I am. But when I write songs, it's personal, and it means a lot.
Well, you started out being influenced by your mother's piano playing, as I mentioned in the opening. How old were you when you first realized that she played the piano and you really enjoyed it?
Yeah, my grandma, she grew up playing the piano, and went through church and everything. It wasn't my mom, it was my grandma. And it inspired me to get into music, I think, because that's the first time, you know, I ever was directed into pursuing anything musically.
But you waited till you were 17.
Picked up the guitar at 17. But I played piano with my grandma and just messed around with her while she was doing her church stuff and everything.
So were you playing the piano a little bit at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, I started on piano with my grandma.
Was there a particular country song that she played, or maybe she didn't play any country music, but maybe she did? So if she did, what was it that you liked, or even if it wasn't a country song, what was it that you liked particularly about the kind of music she played?
She really just taught me the simple stuff on the piano. Me and her just played all the time. She didn't really have a thing for country music. She might have listened to it every now, but she never played it on the piano.
So what kind of music was she playing then?
It was all church music.
Okay.
He practiced a lot for church and everything. And that's where I kind of stepped in and, you know, learned everything from her.
So your next album is going to be the Dalton Hicks Gospel Choir, right?
No.
Can't do that in the beer at the same time, I guess. So So that can't work out. So how did you start knowing you were getting a following initially? Because you built this following without really a lot of support or big promotional pushes, but you were able to do it. So take me through those steps on how you started your career to the point where you're now recording. Obviously, you're performing. As I mentioned, you're going to be at Stoney's this Friday as well. Doors open at 7. I think performance is at 10. But how did you get that? Take us a little bit through it.
I released my first song in 2019. And then from there, it's kind of been uphill from there. But then I had a little setbacks here and there. But I'm Still Here, which I recorded and released about a year ago coming up, or maybe a little less. But that's really the song that put me on the map in some big places and got me in places I never thought I would be, just like Stoney's in Las Vegas this Friday.
Yeah, and have you been to Vegas before?
Yeah, this is maybe my first time in Vegas.
Okay, so since this is your first time in Vegas, are you going to have time to see some of the sights, or are you locked in for just performing?
Yeah, we're going Thursday. Going up Thursday, I'm going to be on Fox News in Las Vegas doing my unreleased song on TV. That's going to be awesome. And then from there, we play Friday night, and then we're going to stay the whole weekend and enjoy our time. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're traveling, is it a big group that comes with you, or a small group, or just two people?
Just the band. Me and my band's been together for 2 years, and it's the same people that I've been with for 2 years. And they're always with me when I can have them. If I need to get replacements, I do. But other than the band, it's really just family and friends that join and come to shows. But Vegas, my dad and my stepmom will be there along with some of their friends. But
you got a built-in audience.
Yeah.
You mentioned the band. Now, it would be remiss if you didn't give them a shout out in terms of who's who and what's what. Like who's?
Oh yeah, we got Jackson Ellis. He plays electric guitar. We got Jonathan Osborne. He's on drums. We got Logan Vaughn on rhythm guitar. We have on bass guitar. We have Alice Kilroy, and then there's me that sings, Dalton Hicks.
The one and only Dalton Hicks.
Yes, sir.
When you first started putting the band together, were you pretty sure that you were gonna be able to have the band tour and record both?
No, not at all. When we first started the band, it was, we try and get local shows here and there, but at the same time, we had goals, we had a passion, and we've been pushing towards it, and it's really worked out.
So you had a cohesive group from the very beginning.
Yeah. Actually, it's a funny story how we met.
Please tell us.
I used to do plumbing, and I was on top of a school running a water line from an AC unit, and somebody saw my tattoo. It's a tattoo of a microphone on my arm. You can't see it. My phone's a little messy.
Yeah, no, I can see it. That's good. Our viewers will see it. Listeners will imagine.
They were doing something else on top of the school at the time. They saw my tattoo, and they were in a rock band, and he ended up inviting me to one of their band practices, and they fell in love with my voice, and that's how it all started. They're my brothers, and they're my everything. They're the world.
You gave up the plumbing for the music.
No, I still work a day-to-day job during the week.
You're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Let's go over to that side for a second about it, because I'm intrigued by that. So you're still doing other stuff, and that kind of, I would imagine that kind of keeps you grounded as well.
Yeah, definitely. During the week, I'm trying to make money, and then on the weekends, we're gone. I usually leave out on Thursdays, but usually it's Fridays through Sunday. I'm gone and playing shows, and then come back and back to work.
And of course, they all know that what you do when you're out performing.
Yeah, no, not sometimes. Sometimes, yeah.
So when the band looks back over the last 2 years, are they amazed at where you've gone to in terms of the recordings and the touring?
Yeah, my guys have they play with a couple of different bands over the 2 year span just so they can make money, playing shows and everything. But everybody's really getting dedicated into where the progress has been going with my name and how it's been getting out there, and we're so excited to see where it takes us.
Well, you're going to be good in Las Vegas. That's a great location for you, a great venue. and a great city to perform in. And you can then when you get back and you're working at something, you go, so, hey, I performed in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it works out fine. When you you mentioned earlier about your voice, and it is unique. Did you always have that it's obviously a country voice, as I call it, a country voice. And it's in that realm of a lot of country male singers who have a very distinctive male voice. They're different from each other, but they're still very distinctive male voices and perfect for country music. I mentioned earlier on, too, some of the people that influenced you. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, it started with my grandma, and that's what put me into music in general, not even country music at the time. It was just, you know, getting to learn the piano was awesome. And I don't really know it that well, but, you know, with the time I had with her at the time, it was my great grandma. And it was just beautiful to be able to start my music career with her being there in every step of the way. But I don't know, Jelly Roll, that's another one of my influencers. He really just his songs collide with how my songs come out to the world. You know, we're trying to, instead of, you know, the whole talking about girls, singing about girls, the country thing, as you would say, it's more like I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to motivate people in life and through my music.
And what about Thomas Rhett?
Thomas Rhett's a family man. And that's what I always have looked up to, always wanted to be. I wanted to be playing music, but at the same time, have a family behind my back the whole way.
When you're writing your songs, are you thinking ahead in terms of how you want to have those songs have an impact on listeners?
Yeah. Definitely. I'd say every song except my first one, Goodbye Kiss, has been, you know, just trying to tell people to get up and keep moving, you know. And it's, I mean, it started, I released the second song after my Goodbye Kiss, I released with the band, and our band is called Southernly Proper. And I have a song out with them called New Way. And that's really where it kind of took off from there. We recorded up in Nashville with that song. And then we kind of changed back to my name, and we started running with my name. That's why the last two releases have been with my name.
Yeah, gotcha. What got you to focus on a particular message you wanted to give in the songs you write for people? In other words, you look like a very happy guy. You're on the golf course, you're drinking beer, you're smiling, and yet clearly there's some pain somewhere based on something that enabled you to write and connect with people.
You know, I've had a rough life. I've not really, to the rough is an extent, but like just rough life, saying that I moved out of my parents and everything right out of high school. And I've been on my own ever since, you know, and that is a struggle. But at the same time, I'm going to look back on it and be like, you did it, you know, and I don't know. There's some other things that are personal to me, but that's really the main one, just being on my own for a pretty much long time. My family has my back, but I kind of removed myself from the equation in my younger years right after high school.
You decided to do it right after high school. Was there and this isn't a personal question, it's really more a sense of you that I'm asking this question, but you clearly decided to go out on your own. And after high school, it's not as bad as if you left when you were 12, you know, or away from home at 9. So at least you were 16 or 17, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Right. So yes, it probably would be difficult, but you were almost to the point of an adult at that point. How did you find your way?
I can't lie. Just working and literally living day by day.
Which is a song. So you tied that in very nicely. Yes. But how did you know at that point you were going to be in music, or were you going to learn the trades and then incorporate music?
I'd say about senior year of high school is when I played or when I picked up the guitar. So I don't really know. I don't think that I, at the time thought I'd be doing any of this, be anywhere, you know. At the time I was more focused about drinking beer with my buddies and, you know, literally living for the weekend. And
now you're drinking beer with Ira, so it works out fine. You can continue. So there you go. But the choices you made, though, in terms of, there's two parts to this as I see it. You clearly were on your own, struggling in many cases, defining who you were, and then you had a choice of not just a choice, but you can combine them, writing and performing. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did you think you were going to be a writer first and then a performer, or a performer first and then a writer, or did it all combine at the same time?
It all combined at the same time. I didn't know anything.
And then you started writing. And how did you know that the songs would be successful? You're doing things on your own here.
The song "I'm Still Here," it blew up like crazy. But I wrote that song in about 30 minutes. I was sitting there. I was drinking beer, sitting there, and the idea "I'm Still Here" popped in my head, and I wrote. I just poured my heart onto a paper for like 30 minutes, and then I put it all together. And I went in and did a rough demo of it, and I put it out on TikTok, and it started taking off. And then in a matter of probably 3 weeks from there is when I released the song, and it's coming up on over 500,000 streams. And that's huge for me. You know, that's, you know, one step closer to being where my dream is, you know. And my dream, I can't lie, my dream really didn't start until I really picked up a guitar. I've always had pictures of me, you know, singing karaoke and everything, but I didn't think anything would come from it. It wasn't really my dream. I wanted to be a marine biologist, but, you know, school wasn't for me. And when I picked up that guitar and started writing my songs, it's like it sparked my head, and I was ready to go from there.
That's interesting. Marine biologist. And here you left school and you left family and you were out on your own. And yet that's an interesting choice of a profession too. So when you mentioned your dream, is there one aspect of your dream particularly that you're looking to fulfill that you haven't yet?
I really love the world. I don't even, you know, half of me, I don't really care about the famous part. You know, if I get famous, I'm going to still be coming doing the same thing with my family, my friends and everything. I really just want to motivate people with my songs. I want my songs to be everywhere in the world. You know, that's my main goal. And that's, and the fame might come with it, but at the same time, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just going to be the same old me. I'm not good with social media. I'm not good with anything. I keep on going day by day.
Have you, when some of your songs came out, your first one particularly, how did you get feedback on it? In other words, you know, you're talking about how it exploded on TikTok. Were you seeing the reaction on TikTok, or did you actually start to get communication in other forms from people that really were touched by the song?
Yeah, I wrote it. I mean, I have some buddies that I sent it to, and I played it for my dad and a couple of his friends, and they were like, "Oh my gosh." And then I recorded a little video of me singing it and posted it on TikTok. It did good. It did all right. And when I actually went in and recorded it and just posted a rough demo of it, it took off. And that's when I released it like 3 weeks later.
It's funny how in today's world, artists such as you can really take control of your own catalog and your own production and your own distribution. Actually, the most important part is the distribution, because you can release it a lot of different ways that you, singers couldn't do it 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You had to sign with a major label. So it must be at some level of pleasure for you to realize that you can get this out, your work product out, and be recognized for it and coming to Las Vegas. So that it's a different world today than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, it is insane.
Yeah, how do you schedule your work and your leisure or pleasure, in the sense that I'm talking to you now on a golf course, and so you're obviously having some leisure, which is great. Yeah. I'm not knocking that at all. But how do you balance the writing and the performing and the leisure and the family so that it all, if it can, balance out?
We got off work today about 3 o'clock, and we had decided to come out here, and we got a tea time at 3:50. That's how quick everything went today. You know, but other days, you know, I like to just chill out. And during the week, especially, I like to sit down with the guitar and write my music. And, but really my management team, Burning Ground, they've been doing a lot for me and keeping me like on track, because they know who I am. They know that I'm not the best with the social media and everything. I'm not the best with anything because I never knew, you know. I'll say it again. I'm just a country boy. I'm living life and I'm having a good time doing it.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Have you thought about it? Because you are, in a sense, identified in a certain way and you have a very distinct voice. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of country artists, male country artists that you have that kind of voice that connects with people. Have you thought about performing at some point in the Grand Ole Opry?
Yeah, that's a dream as well. That's a dream as well. It's probably every country music singer's dream.
I would think so. Yeah. Have you visited the Grand Ole Opry though?
Yeah, I visited it. We took a tour actually the first time we went to Nashville. That's when we recorded New Way with my band. And it was awesome. You know, we took a tour and we stayed the whole weekend because, I mean, you play one show or you have a recording or something, but at the same time, you get to experience everything you get to experience in Nashville. It's just a blessing. So we stayed.
When you decide where you want to record, how do you decide what studio to go to?
I got lucky with one studio. It was Omni Sound in Nashville, and that was with Bill McDermott. But I got lucky with that one. But now we're looking at going to BMG with Jeff Huskins and everything. It's looking pretty good. It's just a lot of money, you know, a lot of money to really get your stuff to take off and go. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. You know, I had one song that blew up, but at the same time, you got to keep on grinding and push new stuff out.
You mentioned Omni. It was demolished, right?
Yeah, Omni was demolished, and they relocated. They're actually right down the street from my management company.
But oh, okay. It's always funny to me when an artist records in a studio, and then at some point the studio no longer exists, but the artist does, and the recordings do. And so, do you ever get a strange feeling that here's something you've recorded in a studio that's no longer there? Yes, I understand they relocated, but the point is, you created the magic in this space and then the space goes away. You're still here. Your music's still here. The recording's still here, but the studio's not there. Does that ever strike you in a strange way?
No, he got another studio started up. That's just right down the road. That building was really old.
Right. The reason I'm asking it is depending on the studio, for example, I'm thinking of Capitol Records in Hollywood, where so many great entertainers recorded. And if you go in there, you can just feel the vibe, Frank Sinatra and the Beach Boys and Dean Martin and Nat King Cole, etc. So when you mention the Omni, that's what I was thinking, is that maybe you get a certain vibe being in there, but now it's not there. Yes, it's a new facility now. Yeah. That the old one, similar to, I guess, what I'm trying to get in my own way, is the Grand Ole Opry, when they moved, you know, the Ryman Auditorium, it had a whole sense to it. And they obviously took part of the stage and put it in the new location. But that's where I was trying to go with it. But clearly you're not sentimental about it, so I'll drop it. But in addition to, besides the Day by Day, are you working on additional songs?
Oh yeah, we got works. When I come up there and play in Vegas, I'll be coming up a day early, and I'll be on Fox News in Las Vegas, and I'll be playing my new unreleased song. It's called "Poison in His Veins."
So and you say it's unreleased, but are you going to release it at some point?
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. That's the one we're pushing right now. We're waiting. I'm saving up money to get in the studio, you know.
Yeah, I got you. So. When you're recording in the studio, and I've asked this of other guests, when you're recording in the studio, there's a lot more technical aspects to it than when you're doing a live performance. And again, you're going to be at Stoney's on August 15th, this Friday, and doors open at 7. When you perform before a group, an audience, a boisterous audience that likes your stuff, you're getting feedback that you don't get in the studio. But in the studio, you get close to perfection because you can take 1, 2, 3 up to how many takes you want. You could tweak it, especially with the way digital technology works today. You can make it whatever you want. So I guess my question is, it's a long question, but I'm getting there. How does that work for you as recording in the studio and not having any feedback other than from the engineers and the producers, and performing in front of a crowd?
A crowd is really, you're trying to get everybody hype. You're trying to get everybody with you in every song. You're trying to, you know, but in a studio, it's more like you want to get it perfect, you know? Everybody's in there. Yeah, it might sound good first take, but let's take five more takes. And it's really about just getting it dialed in. You go back and go over every take you do and pick out the best parts of it and just put it all in the song. But with playing live, you know, it's, I pour my heart into playing live. We do a show and we make a show happen. You know, there could be sad people in the bar. They're going to be happy when they leave the bar.
Is there a Dalton Hicks fan club?
Maybe somewhere out there. I think, I don't know.
I was just thinking, if they really like your performances, there'd be a fan club forming, and you know, yeah, keep them in the loop in that sense. The challenge, I guess, too, is that when you are performing live, when you're done, it's done. When you're recording lives forever. Do you ever, even though I know you're not chasing fame per se, what about immortality in the sense that a song, your songs are going to be on recording and be there forever digitally?
Yeah.
When you're long gone. So your music will live on, I guess what I'm trying to say. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody thinks about it maybe now and then, you know, but I'd definitely say I'd have some songs out right now that would really hit hard if I ever did.
Before I let you go, what's one thing you want to accomplish that you haven't accomplished yet? I know you have the dreams, and we talked about the Grand Ole Opry as one thing, but is there one particular thing that's germane to you particularly that you want to accomplish?
I don't know. The
too many?
We didn't play the Ryman. We played outside the Ryman. But I'd say the Grand Ole Opry, you know. I'm reaching for the stars, you know. But that's one thing that is probably my number one accomplishment that I want to do.
Well, there's plenty of time. So that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Dalton Hicks, whose new single is Day by Day. And he's going to be performing at Stoney's Rockin' Country this Friday, August 15th. With doors open at 7 p.m. And for ticket information, go to stoniesrockincountry.com, and you can follow Dalton on Instagram and TikTok. And he's got a lot of followers on TikTok. Anyway, Dalton, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Be Las Vegas. Anything you want us to be.